I'd like to just begin this personal tape by reading to you from Luke 21, verse 26, where it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be." Think of this, folks. She was only about 13 years old at this time, because that was the time of betrothal, the age of betrothal in Israel at that time. And so she was just a very young girl, and you can imagine how she must have trembled before the angel of the Lord. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold,'" now listen to these promises, "'you will conceive in your womb, bear a son. You shall name him Jesus,'" or Yeshua, which means the salvation of God. "'He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Several things I'd like to mention about this passage, and that is, first of all, the credible faith of Mary. Listen to that verse 38 again. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." It took a lot of faith to speak those words from a very young girl, because she knew the consequences of a unmarried woman becoming pregnant. She knew that the one she was betrothed to could put her aside. She knew that this could result in her death. But if that was the Lord's will, she was willing to accept the Lord's will. A tremendous step of faith on her part. The other thing I'd like for you to notice is verse 37. "Nothing will be impossible with God." I hope that will be your theme verse for this Christmas season. Nothing is impossible with God. And whatever is the greatest burden of your life, the greatest problem of your family or your business, I hope you'll lift it up to the Lord every day during the month of December and say, "Lord, even though in the natural it may seem impossible, in the supernatural I believe all things are possible, because your word says in Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. And so, Lord, touch my life and lift the burden." The other thing I'd like for you to notice are those promises again that are recorded there in verses 31 through 33. I want you to notice that several have been fulfilled. She did conceive in her womb. She did bear a son. His name was called Yeshua. He was great. He was called the Son of the Most High. And all of those prophecies have been fulfilled. But what I would like for you to do is to remember the forgotten promises of Christmas, the ones that have not been fulfilled, the ones that will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns. And that is in verse 32, where it says, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." That is an unfulfilled promise. Jesus does not sit on the throne of David. He sits at the right hand of his father's throne in heaven. In Revelation 3, he says that when he returns, he will sit on his own throne, the throne of David, which has always been in only one location, the city of Jerusalem. And then he will reign over all the earth. Verse 33, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." That's national Israel. And he will reign over them forever when he returns. "And his kingdom will have no end." His kingdom will go on and on and on. Not only the millennial kingdom, but on into eternity will his kingdom go. So remember the forgotten promises of Christmas this year. And I love these verses because they tie together the first coming of Jesus with the promise of his second. Well, I want to give you a personal report about the ministry. The first thing I'd like to do is report to you about our finances and tell you that we ended the month of November with all our bills paid. And we just praise God for that and thank him for people like you that he works through to bless us financially. This tape is going out to 400 people. You are the backbone of this ministry. I want to emphasize that over and over again. You're the foundation of this ministry. Our cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and you're the rest of the foundation, I tell you for sure. Let me tell you about, I think I've mentioned this on a tape before, but I want to emphasize it again. We touch hundreds of thousands of people every day with our radio message. When we are able to send out our newsletter, which we haven't been able to send out much this year because of just time limitations, but when we are able to send it out, we send it out to about 17,000 people. But the people who are the foundation of the ministry are about 400 who pay the bills for all the rest, and you're the ones who do that. And that's true of any ministry. It's always a small core of people who carry the load. I thank you for that. I praise God for you, and I thank you for your commitment to this ministry. It appears now that, the Lord willing, we will end the month of December with all our bills paid. And that means that for the 10th year in a row, we will have ended with all our bills paid. I tell you, we've come right down the wire several times, but for the 10th year in a row, we're going to end, it appears now, our calendar year with all our bills paid, and we praise God. My friends, our new building is almost complete. The only thing left is some trim work on the outside and the painting of it. John Jackson has done a fantastic job of coordinating the construction of it. We had some tremendous help from some of our trustees like Jimmy Harrison and Dudley Head and Ron Martin, and they came out and volunteered the labor. We probably had about $5,000 worth of volunteer labor that was contributed. The actual building materials themselves came to about $5,000. This building will house two vehicles, our tractor, and has a space in it for a large workshop area where John will set up all of his tools and equipment for the general maintenance of our building and property. It's a very, very much needed building, and we praise God that it's almost finished. Not only that, but it's paid for, and we praise God for that too. Again, through contributions from folks like you, and also through a great miracle that happened at the Southland Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and I want to tell you about that miracle. I have held meetings at the Southland Church, I think four in the past, but I hadn't held one there in about 3 years. The Southland Church is a very, very important part of this ministry. It's a church of about 3,000, maybe 3,500 people in Lexington, Kentucky, an independent Christian church whose pastor is Wayne Smith, a wonderful man of God, one of the most loving men I've ever met in my life. I owe a lot to Wayne Smith. The first 3 years of this ministry were pretty lonely. When I stepped out in faith and scared to death, the main thing I told the Lord was, Lord, nobody knows me. I grew up in one particular church that I have since long abandoned, and I've never established roots in any new particular group, and nobody really knows me, and where will I preach? And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, David, I know you. You let me take care of it. For the first 3 years of the ministry, I spoke at very, very small churches scattered around the United States, many of them rural churches. And I began to wonder, as I had this fire within me to tell as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, about the soon return of Jesus, I began to wonder if I'd ever have an audience bigger than 100 people. And, those were lonely times. I can remember times when I would get through with a meeting and I would drive about 15 miles down the road and pull over to the side and pray, oh, Lord, may there be enough money in this envelope they handed me to pay for my motel room on the way back home tonight. Please, Lord, let there be enough so that I can spend the night someplace and not have to drive all night to get back home. Oh, I can remember, I tell you, the Lord pulled me very close to him during those days. And the big break came about 3 years into the ministry when I spoke in Lexington, Kentucky at a high school there in a meeting sponsored by several churches at a neutral site, and Wayne Smith came to that meeting. Wayne Smith then invited me to come to the Great Southland Church and hold a meeting, and he endorsed our ministry. And I tell you, an endorsement from him is really something, because their bulletin goes out to thousands of churches all over the United States. And I began to get calls from churches all over this nation, large and small, to hold meetings and seminars for them. And so Wayne Smith has been a crucial turning point for this ministry. Well, as I said, I've held about four meetings there, but not any in about 3 years. And then I went back. I knew something big was going to happen because I had been informed that people were praying around the clock, 24-hour prayer chains, 48-hour prayer chains, special prayers on Wednesday night, calls to prayer and fasting. And folks, folks, that's the key to a great revival, is to immerse it in prayer beforehand, and then the other key is anointed worship during the meeting. God began to speak to my heart about the meeting and told me in no uncertain terms while I was in Israel that the success of that meeting was going to depend upon worship, because God wanted to work primarily through worship and not through what I had to preach. So I sat down and I dictated a tape to the music minister of the church, a new one I did not know, Bob Harder, and I told Bob about what I felt like God wanted in terms of worship music at that conference. And I want to tell you, Bob came through and he led the most anointed worship that I have participated in many years. The meeting was just immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. From the time it began until the time it ended, it was just one of the most glorious experiences I've ever had. Hundreds of people coming forward for prayer, some on their face, weeping on the ground. After the meeting was over each night, people lingering for an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, singing, praying with each other, refusing to go home. It was just unbelievable what happened at this meeting. Hundreds of radio listeners coming out from all kinds of churches all over Lexington, Kentucky to the meeting. On the meeting started on Sunday morning. On Monday afternoon, I was praying about it, and God impressed something strange upon my heart. He said, "David, whatever is contributed to the ministry between Monday night and Tuesday night, or Sunday night and Tuesday night, will be sufficient." He said, "On Wednesday night, I want you to dedicate the offering to Women for Life," which is a tremendous ministry to save unborn children there in the Lexington area. And I said, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want." So I just kept that to myself. On Wednesday night, Wayne Smith got up to make the announcement. On Sunday night, at the first offering, he had announced to the audience that he wanted to set a new record. He said the largest offering ever given to this ministry by a church had been $6,900 by the Southern Acres Church, also in Lexington. He said, "Folks, I want to break that record. I want us to give at least $7,500. On Wednesday night, he got up to make another appeal for an offering, and when he did, I said, "Wayne, may I say something?" He said, "Sure." I stepped up and I told people what God had laid on my heart. I said, "I do not know how much you have contributed to Lamb and Lion Ministries, but whatever you've given between Sunday and last night, Tuesday night, is sufficient." And I said, "Tonight I want the offering to go to Women for Life, a great ministry right here in Lexington." People just sort of sat there stunned, and they started applauding, and then Wayne stepped up, and he was crying, and he said, "Well, folks," he said, "I want to tell you, David didn't know this, but," he said, "we have already broken the record, because the amount you've given so far has been $7,800. And I was just overwhelmed. We used a lot of that to help pay for our building. I just, the Lord is so good. And you know what? Later on that night, as we were worshiping, Wayne came up to me. He was sobbing. He handed me a piece of paper. He said, "Dave, I can't get control of myself." He said, "You go up and you announce this." You know how much they contributed to Women for Life? $6,500 that evening to save little babies there in the Lexington area. Oh, what a glorious, glorious evening that was. And later on, I got a letter from the director of the Women for Life telling me that their fundraising goal that year, special fundraising goal, had been $15,000, and that they had held an auction, and they had gotten $8,500. And they felt like that was good, even though they fell short of their goal. But he said, "You know what, Dave?" He said, "With the addition of what that offering came to that night," he said, "our total amount of special contributions this year came exactly to $15,070. The Lord is good. Well, not only did the Lord greatly bless us in that regard, but also in another. You know, for some time now, we have been discussing here at Lamb and Lion Ministries whether or not we are to lay down the radio ministry. I felt that God may be calling us to do that, and we have been discussing it at great length, and a decision was made about that recently. As I said, I have felt for some time now that God might be calling us to lay down the radio ministry, because I know God is calling me to spend more time in writing. And so I sought the trustees about that, and we've had a lot of discussions that have gone on all through the spring and the summer, and we finally came together for our final decision to this past month of November. But let me tell you how the Lord worked to reaffirm in my own heart the fact that He wanted us to continue the radio ministry. And that is that on the last day of the Southland meeting, before we had that great offering that evening for the Women for Life on Wednesday, Wayne Smith and I went over to a lady's house in Lexington, Shirley Daniels, who has a radio program there. She's head of one of the ministries in that particular area, Phyllis Shafley's ministry. She's a Christian activist. And we went over there for lunch. And we thought we were just going for lunch. But we got there and there were about 25 people there. We all ate lunch, and then they had me sit in a special chair, and they all sat around, and Shirley said, "David, these are 25 leaders, Christian activist leaders. I want each one to introduce themselves. I want each one to tell what their ministry does, and then I want each one to tell you what your radio program means to them." And folks, I'm telling you, God just blessed my socks off. I sat there for an hour, and they went around the room, and each person told me about their ministry. There were every Christian activist group there, you know, Operation Rescue, anti-pornography groups, everything you could think of was there. And they would tell me about their ministry, and then each one would give me a testimony about what our radio program meant to them individually and to their ministry. It was almost as if God was shouting from the heavens, "David, keep the radio ministry going." Then later that afternoon, I went over to a Christian bookstore to sign copies of Trusting God, and I was supposed to be there 2 hours. I was there almost 3 hours. People lined up all through the store waiting, and each person sitting down and giving me a personal testimony about how much the radio program meant to them. Again, it was as if God was saying, "David, keep the radio ministry going." Meanwhile, I had also been offered a new opportunity that had really spoken to my heart. The week before the Southland meeting, I had been at a church in Nashville, Tennessee. And while I was there, I went by to visit one of our stations there, WNQM. And the station manager told me that they had started a new outreach in June by shortwave, and they were booming out a signal that was going all across Europe, Russia, the Middle East, and North Africa. And he offered us, incredibly, a slot on that new shortwave station, excuse me, for only $25 a day. I could not believe it, and it spoke to my heart immediately that God wanted us to do that. So when I went to the board meeting in November, I shared with them what all had happened. I shared with them the offer that we had on shortwave, and the board discussed it in great detail and overwhelmingly, in fact, unanimously voted that we were to continue our radio ministry and that we were to begin the shortwave ministry as well. Well, today is December the 1st. It's Friday, December the 1st. On Monday, December the 4th, by the time you get this tape, we will be broadcasting on shortwave to all of Europe, Russia, the Middle East, and North Africa. If you'd like to help us with this new outreach, we would appreciate it if you would send us a special donation marked for shortwave, and we will put that in a special fund earmarked for shortwave broadcasts. We're hoping and praying that this will be the first of shortwave broadcasts, that we will also be on shortwave hopefully within the next year, going into Asia, and hopefully one day just blanket the world with the message that Jesus is coming soon. I tell you, I was so uplifted by the tremendous board meeting we had and the great trustees that God has given us and their decision to continue this radio ministry. They affirmed it in my heart. And hardly had we gotten that started until KPBC, a radio station here in Dallas, contacted us and offered us, gave us an offer we could not refuse. To go back on their station. That was the very first station that we were ever on. We were on it alone for a year and a half before we went to any other station. So also, beginning December the 4th, we will be broadcasting over KPBC in the Dallas area at about 10:30 in the morning. Incidentally, if any of you have a shortwave radio, our radio broadcast will be going out over WWCR at 15690 kilohertz, and it will be broadcast at 11:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. That will hit London at 5:45 in the evening, Paris at 6:45, and Tel Aviv and Moscow at 7:45 in the evening. Prime time. Pray for it. pray for it mightily, that God will really use it to tell many people that Jesus is coming soon. The board also decided that I was to start spending each morning at home writing and not to come to the office until noon each day. Hopefully that would be able to insulate me from telephone calls and all the distractions that occur at the office so that I can get some real writing done this next year. So pray that I'll be able to use that time to get writing done. This next year is our 10th anniversary, folks. It seems almost impossible, but it is our 10th anniversary. We're going to be indicating that on our newsletter with a special logo, on our envelopes and our letterheads with a special logo, and we're going to be celebrating all year long the 10 great years that God has given this ministry. Two special things that we're going to be doing next year to celebrate the 10th anniversary is that we are going to be sponsoring a trip to the Holy Land, which will leave May the 26th and return June the 6th. We've picked those dates because we want it to be not only a comprehensive tour of the Holy Land, but we also want to attend the international celebration of the Feast of Pentecost that will be held in Jerusalem during that time, featuring Derek Prince. If you would be interested in making that trip with us, let us know and we'll send you a detailed colored brochure that will tell you all about it. We're going to have an add-on optional trip at the end of 3 days in Paris from June the 6th to June the 9th. We had hoped also to sponsor a trip to the Passion Play in Oberammergau in about August, but that has proved impossible because scalpers buy up all those tickets, and the tickets are like $380 each, which includes two nights there at Oberammergau as well as the all-day play. But scalpers have all the tickets, and they want you to pay up front right now. And we can't afford to do that. So that's one hope and dream that we had that we've had to put aside. We're going to hold our prophecy conference in 1990 on November 16 and 17. We had to put it off until that time in order to get the people that we wanted. We are going to, the theme of the conference is going to be God's call to holiness in the end times. And we're going to go all out with this conference to get some great speakers. The Olive Branch musical group has already agreed to come and provide the music. Richard Booker, who is one of the most outstanding teachers I have ever heard in my life and author of 7 books, lives in the Houston area. Richard Booker is going to be one of our featured speakers concerning holiness in the end times. We're going to do everything we can to get Leonard Ravenhill, one of the great prophets of God of this day and age, to come and speak. We're going to be working on other speakers, so pray for that as well, that we'll pull together just the people that God wants us to have at that particular conference. Still working on my meeting schedule for 1990. I'm scheduling one meeting per month, a few Sunday-only sessions. I don't have all that pulled together yet, so I will save that for a later report. Let me say that one other thing that the board discussed was my housing. I receive a salary of $1,600 a month. I receive a housing allowance of $1,400 a month. By IRS regulations, the housing allowance must be spent entirely on housing. That $1,400 covers the payment on our house, our taxes, our interest, all of our utilities, and any other expenses that we have strictly on housing. I recently proposed to the board that we try to get this ministry in the best financial position possible. We do not owe anybody anything. We've got our buildings and grounds paid for. We have a house paid for that our associate minister, John Jackson, and his wife live in. And I propose that they try to provide a house for my wife and I that would be completely paid for, and that way they could do away with that housing allowance and we could just use that money on radio broadcast. They have been discussing that for some time now this year, and they finally decided to deal with it the way we dealt with the video movie, and that is to just lift it up to the Lord in prayer, mention it to our prophecy partners, and then sit back and see what happens. And if the Lord wants us to move in that direction, he will supply, and if he doesn't, he won't. There's two directions we could move in. One is to take about $50,000 and buy a modular home and put it out here on our property. The other would be to try to raise about $75,000 to pay off the home that we're in now, and of course both buildings would belong to the ministry, not to my wife and I. If we were to do the pay off the home we're in now, which we owe about $75,000 on, my wife and I would simply contribute the about $15,000 to $20,000 in equity that we have. We would contribute that to the ministry, and then we would use the rest to pay it off, and the home would belong to the ministry, and we would just live in it, and that would help us to be in the best consolidated position in the event of any financial collapse in this country. So pray about that situation, and if you have any guidance, counsel, advice about it, we would appreciate it very much. One final thing, and that is that we have included in this package of materials a renewal form for you to use to renew your pledge to this ministry, your commitment to this ministry. We need you very much to recommit to this ministry for another year as a prophecy partner. Our goal that we always put forward is a goal of $30 a month or a dollar a day, but there is no minimum. If you give $5 a month, you can be a prophecy partner. If you give $10 a month, you can be a prophecy partner. If you give $100 a month, you can be a prophecy partner. We just kind of give a general goal for something for people to shoot at, but if you want to give more or less than that, that's up to you. You pray about it. You be led by the Lord, but we do hope and pray that you will be led to renew your commitment to this ministry. We will continue to send you a monthly tape as we have done each month of this year. I hope you will greatly enjoy the tape that is included in this month's package. It's a very unusual one, a very strange one in many ways. One unlike anything you've probably ever heard before. It's called God is Speaking. And normally, you know, the tapes are ones that I make, but this year we've sent you two by other individuals, so one by Dave Wilkerson and this one this month that I thought was well worth your taking the time to listen to. I'm enclosing in this packet a list of the tapes that we've mailed out this year, and if any of you have missed any of those tapes, you let us know. We'll be glad to send them to you free of charge. Again, we love you. We thank you for your support during 1989, and we hope and pray that you will make a renewed commitment for 1990. Please send that commitment form in as quickly as possible so that we can get a good idea of what our financial base will be like during the new year. I pray that each of you will have a glorious and joyous Christmas season. I pray that it'll be a time of fellowship with your family, of fellowship with the Lord. I pray that the love and joy of Jesus Christ will be upon you throughout this Christmas period. And I pray that the new year will be one that will bring many, many wonderful blessings to you. Let me close with the words of Luke 2 and verse 14, which say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased."